episode 27 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Roger Kirby, and with me, as always, is Mr. Stephen Ricken. How are we doing?
We're excited. That's how we're doing.
I can feel it. I can feel it. Voice.
It's because we're on the clock.
We are on the clock. 8:19, 8:18.
We've got an exciting episode planned. We'll see how it transpires, though, because a few technicals that have to go right here to get this episode to go the way we want to. We're about to enter a mock draft.
Yes. I also have a cup of tea, so there might be a bit of slurping. So I think forewarn people for that. Apologies. Because the tea is there, it's just been made, so I'm going to try and take a sip now and test the water, so to speak.
And I've just got a new fresh lease of life at the moment, seeing as I made a big move yesterday. The beard is no more.
Was there anything that motivated this?
Not really.
Going for the full sort of, you know, losing the head on the top and fancied, you know, losing it from the chin as well?
Well, I was way ahead on the chin in terms of volume and lustre of hair, as it's going so thin on the top. But so I was making up for it with my facial hair. But no, the beard's gone for now. We'll see.
I was so disappointed, really, because after seeing your dad's long, flowing silver fox mane, I was hoping that was what you were ultimately going to go for. But it looks like you're going to end up with a sort of a Prince William sort of thinning going on, I'm afraid.
That is the style at the moment, I'm afraid, yeah. So, tidied it up from now, which the worst thing about doing it all really is the fact the amount of people that want to question, oh, you got rid of the beard. Yes, no need to point it out. Let's move on. Anyway, I obviously just pointed it out on an audio podcast, which is obviously great listening to talk about something visual.
It was extremely, maybe, did you tweet our picture?
I haven't as yet.
Maybe you should.
For all those...
Tweet a picture of a bowling ball. I don't think there's any going to be really much difference these days.
Very harsh, very harsh. But yeah, the beard is my current Twitter profile pic, so that's where it was a week ago. And now it's all gone. But we are just 1 week away from fantasy draft weekend. So we thought we'd give a mock draft a go on live on air and discuss around it.
Yeah, I think it's a good way of sort of gearing up to the draft and begin to sort of articulate where you are in terms of the different potential philosophies and the different kind of routes that you can go. I think there's numerous different ways that you can slice and dice this. And we've got only 5 minutes now until the start of the draft, which you can see we've already lost team number three, which tends to be the way in these drafts. So we'll probably go for the first sort of 5 or 6 rounds, talking through it, and then maybe just have it in the background, see how it goes. I think it's a good idea, and, you know, something different and innovative for our, you know, horde of listeners. I've just done a really crazy thing with my hands there to signify how big the listenership was. Again, pretty visual for an audio podcast, but I was quite pleased with the gesture that I made.
Well, yes, indeed. I find myself being much more animated these days, sat in front of the computer screen, but my hands are all over the place, gesticulating things. Like I'm a head coach on the sideline, having a go at the ref and the players. So, it's odd that we end up talking with our hands on a podcast, but that's what we
I
end
want
up
cake.
Doing. There's a team three just joined, so we've got a full quota of 12
beautiful.
Ready to go. Well, I see we've got some Eagles fans involved in our mock draft for this 12-team mock.
Yes, there's a lot of talk about Bradford and potentially the Super Bowl champions being the Eagles after his excellent and display in the now seemingly foolproof quarterback friendly plug anybody in there Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah, well, haven't as yet watched a lot of the game time from yesterday. Was a bit unusual, the games on a Saturday for this week 3 preseason, but
yeah, and it's definitely thrown me because my kind of life in season is kind of planned around Sunday's game day, and then sort of I can watch the Thursday game at my leisure, watch the, you know, the Monday game, the Sunday night late game on the Monday, and then the Tuesday I can watch the Monday game, and but there is a bit of downtime so that I can kind of catch up. When it's on all the time, I actually find it more difficult to catch up because there is no let up, and there's no sort of catch up period.
Yeah, so we'll try and make a few comments on the pre-season as it's been unfolding, and a few bits we've watched here and there. I've managed to watch a bit from yesterday, and as you mentioned, the Eagles won again, which take them to the all-important 3-0 in the pre-season.
It's shaping up to be a really, really interesting division, the NFC East.
Well, the Redskins are on form as well. They've won 3 out of 3, if you go by that. But and oh, is that the Cowboys at the bottom of the standings, 0-3? Not that it really matters too much, but I guess just on that, I watched the Vikings-Cowboys game, some highlights just earlier, and there's something missing from the Cowboys. And it's too obvious to state that it's DeMarco Murray, but they obviously weren't playing Bryant. He didn't take the field. But I don't know. It feels like the defense isn't going to be anywhere what it needs to be, and particularly with the troubles at cornerback now.
Yeah, Skandrick's gone, which is a huge blow. And obviously they are missing pass rush in Hardy for the first 4 days.
He showed a couple of bits yesterday where what they're obviously going to get at the end of the season, but that's a while to wait to get that kind of rush. And there wasn't anything apart from him really to note. It's good to see Sean Lee back on the field, and he I've noticed the trend through the preseason. One thing, linebackers almost standing out on tape. You see people like Lee, Keekly, obviously, and then the other big talking point really is Navarro Bowman coming back and the way he's played. You've seen these linebackers chasing all over the field, and it's really exciting to watch.
They're becoming a lot more athletic and dynamic, and can do all. You know, they can hit, come up and hit the running back. They can, you know, they can cover the, you know, the dynamic athletic tight end. They can go out and cover the slot receiver. You know, they can do it all, these really dynamic young linebackers.
Well, we've got 43 seconds.
Yeah, I was just about to interject there. And the big talking point on the message board is who y'all talking at number what? Taking at number one. I don't even know what accent that is, but it was maybe American. 30 seconds. It's exciting.
Who would you take number one?
I am number one, and I know that he has a 2-game suspension, but I would take Bell.
Yeah, I think his value of catching balls out the backfield
It's worth its weight in gold. He's going to get you all in terms of all-purpose yards. I think it's a no-brainer. Now later on in the draft, that's where I think it becomes interesting. And you're set at 4, are you?
I'm set at 4 today.
So here we go.
Here we go. If you look at ADP, the average draft, Peterson has been going slightly ahead of Bell.
And the guy picked Bell within the first 3 seconds.
CJ Anderson has gone second.
He's got to be a Broncos fan, surely.
Has to.
Really? Lacey at 3.
Myself sat at 4.
So talk us through it. You're on the clock. So
I am on the clock. We can use all 90 seconds. Because I do have a bit of deliberation, because you would never expect Peterson to be there.
No, this is
you
very
obviously
true.
Hope he's going to be back to his normal self. I mean, in a lot of mock drafts, I really like Charles this year. I'd love to pick him up across all the leagues if he's available. I think in this situation, because Peterson's
still
there,
I'm going to have off the board. You're annoying me now.
Take him.
Thank
and
you.
Go Peterson in position number 4, but it was tempting to go for Charles, because he's got that same value.
I mean, will he be there, do you think? I can't see Peterson being there at 4 in one of ours. I'd be very, very shocked.
And I think Charles's value as well is like Bell. He catches a lot of balls out of the backfield as well.
And I think the fact that they've got Macklin is a huge thing. We because I think the fact that they're going to potentially able to stretch the field a little bit, that should hopefully play into Charles's hands. The fact that you almost knew they were going to give it to Charles and you almost knew it was going to come this year, you should hope that... And I expect Kelce to move on a step as well. You know, the mini kind of Gronk, as they refer to him.
So you're picking... where are you picking? Six?
Yeah, so five's on the clock now. That six is the spot that I can't quite make my mind up. Because that spot, that's the bit where I can't decide. Because you're starting to get into the sort of the Jeremy Hill running backs, Matt Forte,
it's where people start contemplating going outside the running back and going Rodgers or Brown or Gronk or one of the receivers.
So Charles was just taken. So Lynch, Forte, I mean, I'm sorry, at that stage, it's a no-brainer for me. I'm going to pick the best player in the entire world.
The King of the North. Rodgers goes six.
My rationale for that is that he's almost guaranteed for 14 of those 16 weeks to get you maybe 10 extra points on the board.
Yeah, and it's the way that we don't even question they're going to almost miss a beat, even though Jordy's going to be missing for the season. You still think he's going to find the way to get it done and use what he's got around him.
I think there's also the potential that, you know, you don't quite know what kind of, you know, Lynch you're going to get. I'm not sure with Lynch this year. You know, every year you expect a decline, you know, with his issues with his back and sometimes his attitude Seahawks going to move away from that grounded out kind of offense now that they've put, you're expecting to be a bit more dynamic with Jimmy Graham in there.
I look at Lynch's name there and I just really don't know what to expect. Almost the same last year because of the whole contract issues, you didn't know quite what to expect, but he came out and fantasy wise scored hugely, and he's gone in this one ahead of Forte and then to form Antonio Brown's picked number nine, and that's then when you've got this real gap in the running backs in terms of average draft rankings. Once you've gone past Forte, you then are looking at Hill and McCoy.
McCoy and then
Murray, and this is where it seems to be there's back-to-back picks, receivers generally.
Then you're starting to get down to the likes of Mark Ingram, Lamar Miller, Justin Forsett, Alfred Morris, Jonathan Stewart, Carlos Hyde, and it's like, oof.
I think one of the interesting things is the fact that some of these top running backs have moved this year. I mean, with Murray moving and what that means in terms of the leading rusher moving teams one season, and you've only witnessed some bits of the preseason, you still a little bit unsure fantasy-wise in terms of committee approaches by some teams, how people like Spiller's going to do and how that impacts with Ingram,
yeah.
The whole Buffalo situation. They've got such a nice, if they're all healthy, committee. Does McCoy get loads of touches?
Well, and I also begin to start thinking about when I'm drafting a running back especially is what team is he going to be on? So is this team going to be potentially chasing? I mean, I always remember the first year I drafted Lamar Miller, and he was supposed to be, you know, the next big thing, and this was a couple of years ago, and then the problem was is that whilst he was looking okay in the first quarter, the Dolphins would be down two scores, and then it would be having to throw it every down. He's not catching the ball out the backfield, and then it's like, so you're almost having to factor in, okay, is that team going to be leaning on their running back throughout the entire game for ball control, or are they going to be chasing it and moving away from the run to the pass?
Yeah. Speaking of passing, Andrew Luck went 11 in this mock, which slightly higher than some of his. I've seen him going in round two a lot of the time, but then it's the receiver run. So Bryant's gone 12, back-to-back picks actually for that team 12 with Bryant and Julio, who just got paid today.
He did. Pretty comparative contract to Demaryius Thomas.
Just nipped him by $1 million or so overall in guarantees.
It's a token sort of gesture, isn't it?
Which just means AJ is sat there very happily thinking that he'll be next to get $1 million more.
Yeah. And Gronk's just gone off the board there in the top of the second round again. You know, he's another one. I kind of put him in the Rodgers category in pocket. Is if you can get him, he could potentially guarantee you 10 extra points over the guy in the other tight end spot.
Especially this year with the Graham move, we don't know what to expect for him fantasy wise and points wise. And you look at the rest of them, there's some great tight ends out there and some offenses that are going to use their tight end heavily. But what does that mean in a fantasy value? And Gronk's scoring is so much higher than the next best. That's one of those things, like Rodgers and Luck, they're so far ahead point scoring wise in fantasy, it's worth the value taking. So Murray's now gone, pick 15. We've got three more before you pick for your second round. And one of the almost biggest talking points, which is he's being left there again, Calvin Johnson is a big unknown, it seems, this year.
Yeah, he's gone. He's just gone. And I think he's a bit of a risk, if I'm perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, he's gone 17 overall, but he's kind of ranked to more like 12 on the NFL ranking. So it's odd that a lot of people are unsure about him and they start taking people like Gronk and Murray and McCoy ahead of him. Bit of an unknown, really, going into this season.
Yeah, I think just looking at this here, and I'm just on the clock with Beckham just going ahead of me. You know, I've got Demaryius Thomas, AJ Green, Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, and I think it's a case of here is I begin to start thinking about, okay, well, I've picked Rodgers.
Yeah.
Nelson's gone from the Packers. I think Cobb has to be the main man now. Bearing in mind that the news coming out is that he suffered a shoulder injury, and just talking off air with yourself before, you were talking that isn't going to be a major problem. It's not a dislocated shoulder.
No.
So for me there, despite the fact Demaryius Thomas, Green and Alshon Jeffrey are on, I would take Cobb because I'm tying into my quarterback.
So if that partnership fails, you're out.
But I think the thing is that you the way I always tend to draft in is that you pick your poison and very much you kind of, you know, you either win or lose by pairing people up together. You know, if your quarterback's doing well, you expect your wide receiver to do well.
I'm going to do something a little bit, I'm not sure. I probably should go to form now on the clock and take AJ Green. I've got a few reasons.
With the highest ADP.
But for some reason, I am going to go for a second running back this year at pick 2, and I'm going to go down to Miami, take Miles Miller. I really like what I've seen from him and what's going forward. I wanted to, with this mock, get the running back situation sorted. The other receivers there, Green fantasy wise, he seems to always have the odd little niggle and may not score as well, and look at the other receivers around him. The value of him, I don't see taking at this stage. If I've missed out on one of those, he's probably the last of the big guys that receiver-wise you want to get. The Demaryius Thomas, Julio, and they've gone. I'm not really convinced about the next range.
Yeah, someone's just taken Mark Ingram there, which is a...
I really like what he could do, but it's a big unknown at this stage, really.
I mean, are they going to use him more out of the backfield? That's what you said with Spiller. Are those guys going to sort of cannibalize each other in terms of the passing game for the running back out of the backfield there? It's there's so many ifs, buts, maybes. And I think it's really, I think what you have to do with the fantasy is have almost sort of three or four different kind of ways of doing it and saying, okay, well, this is the way that this draft is falling. This falls into this strategy. And I'm comfortable with either A, B or C strategy, and this is the way this draft is going. I've found in the past when I've kind of gone in and let the draft kind of fall where it falls, you come out and think, well, hang on, how have I ended up with this player? And if you don't have a strategy that you're, you know, two or three strategies that you're happy with that you can marry to how the situation falls, then I think you always end up with egg on your face.
Yeah, and when we're picking fourth and sixth in a 12-teamer, you, by definition, have got consistent 12 spot weight between each pick, and I'm on the 8 to, what's that, maths, 8 to 16 gap. When you're in the middle like this, it's also then feels like that long wait between picks sometimes, and I almost prefer that double down when you're like a team 10 or 9. You don't have too much of a wait between these first and second picks, and you can plan your strategy a bit more, because between your two picks as it stands when you're in the middle of the rounds, you've got a long wait to see what might unfold, and if there's a run on something, you're not there to be able to
react a lot of the time.
But just to catch up, we've now completed round two. So the couple of receivers of big guys are gone, Green and Jeffrey. Ingram has gone, and T.Y. Hilton's gone at the start of round three, followed by Latavius Murray from Oakland, who's looking really nice in the preseason.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reach for me, I'd have to say.
I nearly forgot that I'm now back on the clock. I'm looking at a receiver. I know he's slightly unhealthy at the moment, but from what's available, I could go Evans. I think he will have a good relationship there with Winston.
That O-line is a concern.
But what I really like when he gets back fully healthy, ready for the start of week one, I'm sure, is Emmanuel Sanders. I really liked him last year. He's really good in terms of getting short kind of passes from Peyton and making something out of it with yards after the catch. Over 200 points last year, and feel that he could still produce that kind of number again. So you can't not see a receiver when he's a number two receiver in a Peyton Manning offense to do all right. So gone Sanders there.
Okay, so here's me. Interesting, because we have Mike Evans and Hopkins, and I have massive concerns about the Tampa Bay line, and the quarterback situation in Houston frightens the life out of me. Now, one of my favourite players to watch is Jonathan Stewart. I picked him up in, I think, 5 out of 6 drafts last year, but was picking him up in sort of round 10. But I have to say, I'm a little bit frightened by him at this early stage. I'm kind of torn now between Brandon Cooks and Jordan Matthews. And because I'm really not sure what this offense is going to be in New Orleans, I'm going to go for Jordan Matthews here on the basis that I think he's going to be a consistent player in an offense that seems to be generating a shed load of points in the preseason.
Yeah, I was a little bit distracted there by your pick, because I'm trying to keep up with our chat board in this mock draft, which seems to have got way out of hand.
Yeah, if you think that we go off the rails with our podcast, we're now talking about Drake.
Well, Drake and something about teen shows in Canada, and that team number 10 is your typical internet tough guy. So, it's keeping a lot going on right now, and hope this is going to make good radio for you. So you've got yourself now a team that currently stands with Rodgers, Cobb and Matthews. So obviously running backs are going to be a premium for you in the next
and
couple
of
rounds.
Now I've kind of done this kind of draft, I have to say that I'm feeling a little bit awkward not having a bell cow.
Yeah, because this year it is the bell cows are getting smaller and smaller year on year in terms of their number. So many offenses are committee approaches. I think there are some real good sleepers out there. Do I want to let you know too many of them? Well, it's we seem to be quite open here, so I don't mind talking about them.
Abdullah is one, I would say, that could be. But are you comfortable drafting a rookie in sort of round 3-4?
Well, team 8 here, who picked 32nd overall, going into the end of round 3, has gone for Frank Gore, one of the other kind of unknowns as well, which feels like when you've got Alfred Morris, Jonathan Stewart, who, again, if he stays healthy, should get the carries to get good fantasy value, and Carlos Hyde. A lot of the NFL fantasy experts are putting Hyde on one of their bust lists, their top 10 bust, but maybe I seem to be on the complete opposite side of the fence. The San Francisco offense, looking at it in preseason, seems a bit of a mess. But Hyde is almost the one shining spark.
And I like the thing that I like about Hyde from seeing the game, not the Denver game, but the game the previous week, was that he was catching balls out of the backfield and he was a nice check down option for Kaepernick.
Yeah, and as you
becoming
mentioned
a bit of a
safety
blanket.
And you mentioned as well, and we both really like the value of a fullback in an offense, and how Miller is a very crucial part of that offense when he's on the field, blocking for Hyde, and then also being an option as a check down as well. But
so sorry, just to the back end of the third there. Jordan Stewart and TJ Yeldon have just been taken off the board. Now, the Yeldon, obviously, we touched upon Jordan Stewart and some of my kind of qualms. It's interesting to see he's going as high as round three after last year I was picking up in sort of 10, 11, 12 as a bit of a flyer.
Yeah, obviously the Williams move has really helped with that one. But Yeldon started
round... I only saw him last week, and it was his first preseason game. Mm. And Bortles looked pretty feisty, but... Yeah, Yeldon's, and the reports, what I saw last week kind of echoed that sort of not really hitting the hole as hard as I would like to see.
A little bit hesitant, much like Gordon's looking down in San Diego. It lends itself, fancy-wise, Yeldon looks like he might not take the bull by the horns and be the number one. But Robinson, isn't it, is looking really good as a second option there, and I think it's going to become, even just looking at the preseason, a bit of a committee style approach for them.
Yeah, but I think so. I think that it's just really tough to know exactly what you're going to get.
Has been a running back run here. We've had Stewart go, then Yeldon, then Gordon. So that was back to back. Stuart Yeldon for Team 12. Alfred Morris has gone 39th overall, which I feel like he's got more value. They've got some nice little backups coming through. But you still feel when Game 1 happens, Morris is going to get the pick of the carries. But
when was the last time you were in a draft, mock or otherwise, and it was round 4 and Peyton Manning was still on the board?
Yeah, he severely lost his value. And trying to watch the offense yesterday, and he's openly said they're still very much figuring out who we are, is the quote online on NFL. They've got a lot of work to do.
Now, just to interject there, I am on the clock, and obviously with my running back situation, Nick, being a little bit up in the air here, I have Carlos Hyde, who we've talked about, who we both kind of like in an offense that we're really unsure about. Or we have Joseph Randall here.
Yeah, I would go Hyde way ahead of Randall. Cowboys situation is a mess, in my opinion.
It really is a worry, because on paper he should be the one that gets the nod.
But McFadden looks nice and makes big plays when he makes plays.
So I think the safe one here for me is Hyde. But I also like the fact that you've got some nice pieces in terms of a third wide receiver. You've got Devontae Adams here, as a potential. Probably a bit rich at 4. I think I'm going to probably go with Hyde. I'm always a little bit reticent about drafting a player that's kind of on my sort of the team that I cheer for. But I think given the fact that I haven't got a running back on that board yet, I think he would have to be the one. There we go.
There we go. Just looking now at the overall situation in terms of a number of quarterbacks have been taken at this stage. We have 3 quarterbacks gone. Wilson went around earlier as well in round 3.
I think Wilson is going to go high this year, because I think his value with his legs proved to be so valuable last year. And I think it begs the question here is, when you look who's on there, is there a merit in waiting around? I've taken Rodgers, and I know this is a mock draft and this is very much about testing the water and feeling out what strategy you're going to go with, but you've got Breeze there, Matt Ryan, Stafford.
I am on the clock, and Manning is the highest ranked player overall. His ADP is a 33. We are now picking, 45? So I'm going to leave Manning sat there, though. where do I go next? I've got two running backs. I've got a receiver. The DeSean Jackson in Washington would be good if I could trust their quarterbacks. I've had a bit of a stumping here. I'm going to go for do what some people say, which you kind of need to do a bit in fantasy, which is pick a player you want to cheer for. He had some injury issues last year, but I'm going to go for a homer and take Keenan Allen.
Nice.
Have a good
year. I think they're going to, I definitely feel that they're going to move him around a little bit more. I think they're going to play him in the slot. I think they're going to play him on the outside. I think if they can get TJ Yeldon, Melvin Gordon, I apologise. If they can get Melvin Gordon going, and running and get that run game going. On paper, their O-line isn't horrendous.
I think when I've been watching them so far this year, it's the one thing that actually is almost the best. And I take like one-liners from a lot of the preseason for things that stand out. And their O-line in terms of pass protection has been playing really well. And you've got two giant bookends in Fluka and Dunlap. In terms of the run game, I feel like that's one of the things that's not helping Gordon very much. They don't, for such big guys, they were seemingly much better at moving the defense and run blocking last year, but so far I've not really seen much of that, and it's not really helping Gordon. But as a pass protecting O-line, it's a big solid bunch of guys. But
and talking of pass protection, I know completely unrelated to drafting in this regard, but I saw a bit of the Panthers game from the weekend, and as much as Cam was frustrating me with his 100-mile-an-hour lack of touch on any passes, the pass protection from Michael Orr there at left tackle seemed to be standing up. And granted, it's pre-season, you're not scheming, but he certainly looked a lot better than I was anticipating that he was going to be after he struggled so badly in Tennessee last year.
Yeah, it seems that nothing really good came out of that Tennessee season last year, apart from getting such a high pick with Mariota. Yeah. He didn't seem to settle there, but he has looked good and better this year so far. This is early. And they need to do some serious protecting, because Cam's looking around for options and there isn't much to throw to, so he needs as much time as they can get him and protect him.
We've just had the back end of the fourth there. Manning has gone off the board, and at the start of the fifth there, we've got Jeremy Maclin and Devontae Adams. And Macklin's looked a bit feisty in preseason there, with Smith actually throwing it beyond 10 yards. A quarterback who actually, Alex Smith, maybe not a great fantasy option, but a guy that I love as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Doesn't get enough love from me.
No, and there's tight end Kelsey as well, and at the end of round four, which was one of the ones that I would eye up if he drops. I feel like I don't want to...
Four's a bit rich for me.
Yeah. So tight end wise, I'm still going to stay off the board. I really like Matt Ryan this year. I think he's going to get a lot of quick passes and get yards after the catch
Look at the quarterbacks that have been in that offense under Kyle Shanahan. When you think of what he did at Houston with Matt Sharp, what he's done with RG3 in Washington, what he did with Hoyer at the start of his tenure there at the Cleveland Browns. Definitely up for a good year, I feel.
I am on the clock, and I am going to go for somebody I'm not entirely sure on, but everything about him is exciting and sounding right. And if the Miami offense... Oh, I've just realised there's going to be two Miami players. Hey, let's go for it. Jarvis Landry as another receiving option. Just looking at the value of what's around at the moment.
Yeah, bit of a concern though with the foot injury. And does he have plates in there, I believe?
I actually am not entirely sure about that injury. One of these things, a little bit rusty still, the week ahead of our main drafts.
Again, another tactic what I tend to do is I tend to set my own draft board up, and I will actually take people off that I do not want to draft. So years past, I've now just been pulling the clock. But in years past, what I do is, like Ahmed Bradshaw was a running back that I would never ever touch and take him off the board, because you can guarantee by week six he'd be injured after you'd be riding him hard for the first kind of couple of weeks. So
you just missed out on Randall. He went pick before.
Yeah, that. A bit disappointing because I kind of was eyeing him up. Obviously, you know, we're now looking. It's Blunt, Richard Jennings, Alfred Blue, none of those guys. I mean, the girl he's sat there is a tantalising guy. Mm. But again, probably be able to get him another. I mean, someone there that I definitely think is going to have another good year, and I'm going to pick him now, is I'm going to go for Giovanni Bernard.
Nice.
And he's going to sit. I think Hill is now going to be the go-to guy, but I think that they're going to try and definitely mix it up a little bit more. I think that they're going to... I think the OC there in it's Jackson, isn't it? Hugh Jackson is going to try and get more creative, because I think they're a good enough team to get back to the playoffs, but I think they need to find a way of making it more dynamic and not always have to kind of, you know, rely on AJ Green to be the guy come playoff time. I think they need to find different ways to make sure that when it comes showtime, they're able to get it done.
Just wanted to check in. How are you set for time? Because we're in round five here. We've been going quite a while with this mock draft. It seems everybody's taking a lot of time on the clock compared to normal. I know the later rounds will probably whiz by, but nobody's left yet, which is unusual as well.
That people are actually realise that we're doing a podcast for this.
I tried to mention it, but quickly got shot down.
You did
on the on the message board.
It was a nice attempt.
Yes, we'll drop them the link just now. So I'm sat here with two running backs, three receivers.
Just before you carry on the time, I'm good for time. I will let peek behind the curtain of my really flash kind of life that I lead. After this, I'm going to watch season 3 of New Girl on Now TV.
Splendid.
So yeah, there we go. Have a bit of a thing for Zoe Dash thingamajig. I'm not a big kind of goggly eye kind of guy normally. When she wears quite a bit of eyeliner, I'm really down with that. So yeah, there we go. A little bit of a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, thanks for peeling back the curtain for us. This could turn out to be as well one of the more epic recordings. We're gonna, if we do drop all of this, we'll see what makes the edit bay at the moment, but this could be a long one, and we're in 40 minutes in nearly to this episode.
Is that 40 minutes in of us recording, or 40 minutes
of recording? Yeah,
really.
Yeah, which makes the mock draft up to about half an hour now.
Jesus.
So yeah, if people also take this amount of time, we might be pushing back our second draft next week and on the Saturday. Still can't get my head around which time zone we are in.
Yeah, for the listeners, what are these times in terms of, let's go for BST, seeing as we've had a little bit of an argument about that a couple of, what do you call
it? I don't know. Weeks
ago.
Is it easier just to stick to Eastern time and work
Eastern time, British Standard Time. You pick a time zone.
Majority of our listeners are still from America, so we kick off on the Saturday, September 5th at 5 Eastern with the Move the Sticks second year draft, followed by the Hall of Lame third year draft at 6:30 Eastern. So we've got an hour and a half to fit that one in. I'm fairly certain it'll happen. Probably could have done them around the other way, but we've got 60 seconds, remember, on the clock on both those leagues.
I think we should be all right, surely.
Obviously, the Hall of Lame one will be a bit shorter. We've got two rounds of keepers that will come off the board.
Yes. So make sure you do your keepers. Really important, because you don't want to be the guy that gets to that draft, you haven't set your keepers, and all of a sudden you've lost, I don't know. For example, if I don't set my keepers, I will be not keeping Bell and Charles. And that's just sacrilege.
Yes, indeed.
Abdullah has just gone off the board with Doug Martin. So that's Abdullah in round five. Ladies and gentlemen, Abdullah in round five. If you want that guy, you're going to have to get in there nice and early.
Moving on to Martin, though. Again, pre-season, but the snippets I've seen, I do like him as that type of value as well. He's somebody, he's going to be kind of a flex play, probably not more than that. But if you can get him fairly late, that means he's a good one to see how it unfolds a bit. We know that O-line's the issue, but at least they seem to have more of a passing game around them now with Winston potentially and Evans and Jackson. That can take the pressure off Martin. It felt like last year Martin had to almost, and the running backs had to try and do everything. So this could be a good return to form for Martin, the way he's looking. He's lost a bit of weight and looking a little bit more sprightly again.
Yeah, and the dirt cutter, the quarterback, not the quarterback, the OC has been absolutely raving about him. I think Lovie Smith mentioned that he'd been probably like the star in terms of his effort and focus and determination. Contract year, remember, I think that's always an important little thing to bear in mind, because that certainly is one way of motivating players. And I think sometimes you've got to be also wary about those times, maybe not as a fantasy perspective, but from long term, you know, guys that only will dig in and produce the goods in contract years is always a little bit of a worry.
So just to say, we are now in round six. We've had six of the teams have taken a quarterback at this stage. Myself, not one of them as yet, with Brady going.
And somebody interesting,
round.
Bill's defense went there. Two picks at 63.
And that's to a team who's got, and he's already taken the Seahawks defense. So he's doubling down on defenses by rounds five and six. So everyone to their own tactics, I suppose.
Greg Olsen off the board.
And you are one pick away from your sixth round pick.
Yes, which is going to have to be an interesting one. I don't feel there's any value there. That I quite like Shane Vereen in the later rounds, potentially. Yeah. Too rich for me in round six. Again, don't really feel there's great value there at tight end. I think if Thomas was fit, maybe Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, like those guys. Fancy a great, good year for Cameron. Fancy a decent year for Davis, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, Jeep Crest is going to have to find a way to work him in.
He's going to have to find a way, but he's not showing it so far in the snips of pre-season, I have to say that. No.
So I think here it's, pick your poison, Charles Johnson maybe, Kenny Stills, but I think the best there, and I had him last year, Golden Tate. Had a really solid, and especially given the fact that we don't know if Calvin Johnson's going to get to Royal 16, Golden Tate had a cracking year last year and became a real go-to guy. Even in the London game that we went to, he was the sort of go-to guy that Stafford was looking to on all the big explosive plays.
Yeah, I really like him, and that I think that's good value for him, because he is point scoring wise in fantasy as a number two receiver, very high compared to other number twos around the league. Saying that, I've got number two receiver as my first pick in round three. So I still don't have a quarterback. I'm one pick away from starting. Matt Ryan has been left out there. I'm just looking between my picks, trying to see team two needs to take a QB. So if I don't pick one now, I don't see anyone else picking one except for team two. So I'll leave it for another round. So that'll be round seven and see.
Yeah, I think what you do is you begin to try and look at other people's drafts and start saying, okay, well, if I was them, I potentially wouldn't go for a quarterback here, or I wouldn't touch a tight end. So then you can begin to plot your potential picks around what you suspect everyone else is going to do. The worst is when you predict someone's going to do something and you've kind of plotted, okay, I should be able to pick that guy out next round, and all of a sudden he goes, you're left with 60 seconds on the clock and it's panic time.
Well, true to form, I didn't see the team on the clock before me taking a quarterback, and they've gone with Big Ben ahead of a number of quarterbacks on the rankings, so that leaves one less, but I'm still going to wait for the later rounds there. I'm half toying with a few ideas at this stage, and I'm going to go for, again, another receiver, I'm changing my mind. It's a little unknown.
He's done an audible.
One in my draft queue, one of the guys I'm looking to get. I'm probably going around early or two. He may last a bit longer, but I've seen CJ Spiller get taken quite a lot early on. I want to try and grab him as a nice flex option, because although we're not necessarily sure what we got from him yet, I think this could be a big year for him down there in NOLA.
Nice.
My options I was looking at though was again going for the big man down in Tampa, Vincent Jackson. We've seen enough from Winston to think that they're not going to be dreadful in the passing game. I don't know what your thoughts are, if you've managed to see much at Winston in the last couple of games.
I saw him against the Bengals and was super impressed with the way he organised the and got them into the plays and took command of the huddle. I think he's everything you kind of want in a QB. I think the issues are going to be more around how is that O-line. I think the pass catchers that they've got, the tight end in Safarian Jenkins is decent. If they can lean heavily on Doug Martin, and they've got Charles Sims as well as another option to make sure that you're not putting too much on Martin, I think it bodes well. I have reservations about Lovie Smith as a coach. I think he doesn't come across as a guy that particularly inspires and again engenders particular sort of confidence in what he's doing. You know, you look at his track record with quarterbacks, that it's not exactly, a great one, but I do like Dirk Cutter, and I think what he did with Matt Ryan in his rookie year is something to look to as a blueprint. So, I like it, but I think that definitely impacts on whether I'm going to take Evans and Vincent Jackson.
Yeah. I think another receiver that is just so unknown, really, is Torrey Smith. He's meant to be the number one option in San Francisco coming in this year. Thought he could be a good target. Obviously, preseason's not much to go by. Fantasy value picking wise, he's ranked 66 on NFL.com. He's going 92nd generally overall. And so far, real kind of disappointment they've not seen more of him. And if he can potentially do what he's got the ability to do, and if Kaepernick could develop like he's meant to. This is a lot of ifs and coulds and maybes, but it really should be a good tandem for the Niners.
Yeah, Niners on paper, I think everything revolves around what is the interior of that O-line going to look like. They've lost Mike Apodi, and on the outside there at tackle, obviously, Justin Smith is no longer. Who they lost at tackle spot on the offense? They've lost a party at guard. Sure, they've lost an offensive tackle, haven't they, as well?
It'll come back to me, but I am on the clock, so...
My bad. Other.
And as we're speaking, Torrey Smith has just gone off the board after Marshall and Martavis Bryant as well. So a few receivers going. Ryan still sat there. Stafford's there next. And Tannehill, Romo. I'm looking down the list. This is where teams might start taking a second QB. There's still two teams that need one. Am I seeing more value in trying to take other available options at this stage? Probably. And therefore, we just mentioned Vincent Jackson. He is one of my guys I'm looking towards. But I also just forgot about a chap which is on my watch list, which is another receiver out of Arizona. Some call him a sleeper, but it seems everybody's calling him a sleeper, which doesn't make him a sleeper. But if Palmer stays healthy, John Brown, I hope to have a good season.
Nice.
It's very unusual trying to talk through my picks here. And
yeah, trying to almost convince yourself.
That's probably what it sounds like.
I mean, I have somebody here I've got now sacked in my... in my queue, and I'm sitting here with Ryan Matthews in my queue.
He's second in my queue, like your star.
And there is Vincent Jackson on the board,
yes.
And there's also Trey Mason, who I also do have in my queue.
He has just picked up a niggle. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Trey Mason, is that?
Trey Mason. Ooh, is now a question for week one.
That's a big question.
It was a
problem.
Again, on an audio podcast.
Is the problem.
On an audio podcast, I've just done the double inverted commas, air
nice.
Quotes, tweaked. I think it's a tweak. Ooh. Of the hamstring. But he, I believe, felt it, minor, got out of the game, and it's one of those things, hamstrings and running backs, they can play with slightly tweaked ones, but not ideal. So Team 5's taking his time. He's going to have to probably go auto-pick, and I'm guessing he has left
Yes,
he has
so
left.
So I'm on the clock. Ryan Matthews, straight away. What are your thoughts on Matthews' production for the year?
Fantasy-wise, it's hard to say in terms of how that equates the points, but I much prefer as well his style of running. I feel like they're going to give them both enough carries, and he just looks like a good running back. And if he was healthy all last season,
There's no way he'd have got cut by the Chargers if he'd have been fully healthy. There's any doubts about him as a talent. I think the doubts are, is he a bell cow that you can hand the ball to, 200 odd times? And I think that's the question. I think it's a perfect fit for him and given the fact that obviously you've got DeMarco Murray coming off the amount of touches as he did last year, I think it's a great 1-2 punch. And if you were to say to me, do you want DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, or do you want just one Shady McCoy? I think it's a pretty straightforward, simple, what the Philadelphia Eagles have got now, both from an on-field and a fantasy perspective. I think,
feel like Matthews, his style potentially lends itself to taking more potential goal line carries, I feel. They obviously had Polk last year, who did a few of those goal line tougher carries, etc.
Yeah, and have you seen the Hard Knocks this week?
Yeah.
You have, I believe. Polk is an interesting character with his, was it chicken and shrimp?
Chicken and shrimp. Amazing.
Likeable guy, then. Likeable guy.
Yeah. Some of those guys don't always end up doing the best on field. They're always too nice, it seems, which seems like his mum tried her best, to toughen him up as a kid. Speaking of the Texans, their defense has just gone off the board in round 7.
Again, defenses for me, I think, unless you can maybe pick up, one in the later rounds, it is the guy, is the team. I think you waiver wire that and you pick the matchups for me.
I want to say as well, there are more defenses across the league which you can list now and say they're a good defense. Like there's a top 10, top 15 almost that either have good secondary or good pass rush, or it seems there's a better set of defensive teams. It's not just one or two of them that stand out, but in a fantasy wise you have to get those. You go down the list and feel like just on terms of points wise, you've got people. Rams went quite high last year, but they're about the 10th ranked.
And I think last year with the amount of sacks, say for example the Jags were given, you were trying to find a defense that was playing them every week. I was picking defenses up because two or three weeks in advance because they were playing the Jags. I was holding three defenses, one that was playing the Jags this week and then the next 2 weeks, and always trying to sort of stay 3 weeks ahead of myself.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We get to see it as the league unfolds. You start to, normally last year we came into it and right, let's waiver wire any defense that's playing the Jags or the Titans.
Yeah. Who's going to be that offense this year?
My money's on the Browns. But you also look at defenses. Who would have thought last year the Eagles ended up, I'm not entirely sure on the complete rankings, but the teams left overall, they are one of the top two or three ranking wise.
Has just been taken off the board there in the round 8.
Round 8, after a couple of receivers, Vincent Jackson and Wallace.
You're still waiting for a quarterback there, so we're looking at Stafford, Tannehill, Romo, Rivers, Newton, Manning.
Yeah, we've got one. Well, interesting. I'm just checking. Team 12, that was his first quarterback. There's still three teams out here, actually, that haven't gone for one. But it comes down to really how the next 6 picks go before I pick, in terms of do they all take skill position players that I'm going to think, hang on, I'm going to miss on my next skill position player that's on my list. Let's see how deep that's going. I've got a few in my queue, but I could easily be the last one to pick here. And before people take their second quarterbacks, I've still got Rivers, who did me all right last year, and Romo, but I'm nervous about that man's back. There's something about him that just doesn't seem right.
Really, really, really tough with Romo. You feel he's one big hit away, don't you, from potentially being, you know, put out for a few games. And then, you know, for example, if you've got concerns over Romo, does that mean that Des Bryant's a risk?
Yeah.
It's the whole thing of, you know, a bit like when you draft, you know, Rodgers, for example, with me, and I've drafted Cobb, is that Rodgers hasn't got through 16 games recently.
Yeah, if he misses, that really diverts the whole offense towards Lacey.
He's a great pickup. He's one that, if he's on the board, you know, and you're sat there at 3-4, I can't see him being there on the board at 4. I think he goes within the top 4 picks.
We're having a defensive run at the moment. The Packers have gone, the Patriots have gone. Also, a little stash notice, something that's in the back of my mind, if he sits there long enough, is Foster is potentially going to be back for the last few games.
Now, I'm on the clock here, and I have been looking at Nelson Aguilar as a potential option here, because I really, really do like the Eagles' offense. But someone that I think is really, really going to get an awful lot of use here, and he's maybe around too early, but when I look at what else is on the board, I'm not particularly enamored with it. I quite like Michael Floyd, to be honest. He's someone that I think, from a wide receiver standpoint, he would be the only comparable pick, but I'm going to pick Shane Vereen at this point. I think he's going to have a big year.
He's from 124 of the rankings, about 40th of the players left still. He was on my watch list, may I add. I'm now on the clock. Kicker's gone by Team 5, but he's now auto-picking, so...
Yeah, make sure you go like that.
I feel like also at this stage that I might have to bite and take. I'd like to try and wait another round, but round 8 still, I feel like for some reason I do really like the look of Stafford over the top of Romo and Rivers for their other injury concerns. Cam, I'm staying away from this year. We don't know quite what to expect from Cutler and Flacco, and they're getting a bit deep, so I'm pretty sure Stafford's going to be the better option here. So I'm going quarterback in round 9. No, round 7, sorry. 8. 8 we're in. There we go. Stafford slotted in at QB.
Yeah, and I think now, to be honest, is probably the time that we maybe step away from the draft. The chatter is beginning to get a little bit ridiculous. to the right, at the bottom right of the screen. One guy is seemingly taking on the entire draft, whilst two others don't seem to understand English particularly well. And we're now beginning to get big vocabulary. Probably still earns less than $11.50 an hour. So I think there's probably a good time that we're going to shut that down. I'm going to move on to auto pick that one, I think.
Just quickly what you've ended up with your roster at this time. Going into round 9, looking at a tight end only really to fill your roster.
Yeah.
Think Matthews and Vereen on your bench.
I think Dwayne Allen or Kirby Fleener would be a really, really nice pickup in that offense.
Looking
I think
what's available.
I think the concern is with them is you could pick one and the other will screw you over. Beyond that, I think Jordan Cameron is someone I've got a hell of a lot of time for. I just don't know what Jordan Cameron you're going to get this year.
Other thoughts there. Walker went a few niggles, but he really is a great tight end and such a good athlete in that position. And obviously the Titans are going to have a much better quarterback situation. You like to think that he's going to be one to watch. And then the other one, If I really hold off on a tight end, I could even go Homer, get somebody else as a backup for the first 4 games, and go for the drug suspended Gates. But that makes a little bit questionable to my morals anyway. So that about wraps up our mock draft.
Yes, I shall get rid of that because I was going to use a really offensive word to describe those people on there, but I shall refrain.
Having ended up with Peterson at pick 4, which obviously threw me a little going forward. It's not what I usually would probably have done, but to have him at 4 was good. So
I think that worked really well.
Well, we'll have to see when we make this to air. Is it going to be at least an hour's podcast for you all to enjoy?
I think it's provided a nice way to talk about a variety of different players, some of the philosophies, some of the thoughts. It's interesting as well, the fact that we're doing this live together, that those players that we're both kind of targeting at those last stages of the drafts, we're both on a very similar page. And I think we, probably because we speak a lot and we talk a lot away from, you know, the podcast and stuff, and we watch games together, I think invariably what you tend to do is you tend to take on others' viewpoints and value them, and you end up kind of in lockstep in terms of the synergy in the way that you would value players.
Very much so. And I think it's a nice, interesting exercise that I've done a few mock drafts so far, but you almost, I almost forgot my train of thought there, but we end up picking a lot of the same guys in our ideas towards the end of the rounds, and we just don't want to give too much away, but it's a really nice way that on this podcast we've not necessarily talked too much fantasy specifically over this pre-season period, more football in general, so it's been a good way to bring it back home and get it back on track for fantasy wise.
Now before we head off into the sunshine, it's Bank Holiday Monday here in England tomorrow, so
sunshine, you've got sunshine up there. It's very gloomy down here.
Well, it's not great. I'm supposed to be playing golf tomorrow up in Buxton, so that's in the hills, up in Macclesfield in the northwest of England where I live, but it's supposed to be absolutely chucking it down. So whether that will happen is another matter, but I am off work. So it's only a 4-day week, 3 days, and 1 day from home. So
We've got, as we mentioned earlier, we've got 6 days until those first two drafts. The third draft as well, the Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League, which is going to be at 2 Eastern on Sunday the 6th, this time next week.
And we were talking about maybe recording the draft live, potentially.
Yeah, on that one in particular. The other two, maybe not so. Too much going on, perhaps.
Yes.
It looks like we have enough players, and based on the poll voting, we have 6 out of 8 people have voted saying they're happy for an expanded league to 12 teams. So think we're going to push for that and make the change. 2 have voted against, and I'm not sure who they are, haven't been able to find out, so I hope they aren't too offended that we move it to a 12-team league. But it's been good to have 8 out of 10 people actually vote, which is quite astonishing. So great to see you're so active in this league.
It's been a positive start, I have to say, in that league. The message board has been pretty chocker.
So I think that about wraps it up. Just the usual housekeeping of mentioning, one, that you can find us on iTunes if you search Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. Please try and give us a review and a comment, because they really help us being found in the searches for fantasy football. You can also find us on podomatic.com, and our Twitter feeds are Pipe_Slippers, and I am at Stephen Redkin.
And I am at Roger M. The mother, Kirby.
Splendid. So until probably this time next week when we are drafting for real.
Dude, guys, get stuck into those revision books.
Revision books, mock drafts, and stealing all our ideas from this epic podcast.
Till next week. and sipping a tea.